So,
what's trending?
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio.
Hello and welcome to Trending with Timory. Only I'm not Timory. This is Stacy Trasenkos joining you for a second day in a row because our dear Timory is out with baby. She went into labor last Friday, and as you may have heard yesterday, Timory and her husband are enjoying the first days with their beautiful new child. So I will continue to plea for prayers for them because having seven children myself, I feel like a champion at this thing now. I know how important those first few days are, and I know that they would greatly appreciate your prayers and pray that they are surrounded by this bubble of grace. I like to think of it in tangible terms. Pray that they are surrounded by this bubble of grace that will just bring them so much joy and memories and the ability just to transcend time and really make the most of these first few days. Also pray that they have the strength to get through it, because as anyone who's had a newborn knows, those first few days can also be very trying. Your pregnancy does not just end. Your whole world changes and life begins anew, and you're tired. So I know they would appreciate your prayers. Like I said, my name is Stacy Trasenkos. If you don't know who I am, and probably most people in the world don't know who I am, I just want to tell you a little bit about myself. I was a chemist, and then I became Catholic, and then I had a whole bunch of kids. I already had two kids before I was Catholic, and I had five more. And I've just sort of gone through chemistry, Catholicism, and then I studied theology, and then I took to writing and speaking, and it's just kind of Christmas and Easter wrapped up all into one each morning when I get up and say, "What do you have for me today, God?" And I'm very, very honored to be here on this show, to be filling in for Timory. It is such an honor to be here. And I thank all of you for listening. And if you're coming back from yesterday, thank you for giving me another hour of your time. I will do my best not to waste it. I always say that about anything I write or speak. On the internet today, you can't waste people's time or they won't trust you and come back and listen to what you have to say next. So it's a pretty good goal. We're going to cover a number of things today. I want to talk a little bit in a second. We'll go into it in more detail about Christmas in Iraq. I think it's a good idea to get outside of our own culture. I grew up in Texas, and I promise you this, you may think it's funny or weird, but I kind of thought Texas was the whole world because that's how they raise kids in Texas. I thought Texas was the whole world, and I really didn't think there was life beyond the border of Texas. It was a big deal growing up for people to even leave Texas. and that's not true now. I ended up living in six or seven different states around the United States and have traveled some. So I now know that the world is not flat and it does not end at the border of Texas. But it's always good to get outside yourself and to be reminded of what happens in other parts of the world. So I want to talk a little bit about that in a minute. Also today on the show, I want to talk about the nuns. I consider myself a nun before nuns were cool, N-O-N-E-S. There is a new report out that talks about the growing number of nuns. I want to dive into that a little bit. I know it's a big question on everybody's mind, especially as we're trying to think about how to spread our faith and our joy in Christ and how to, you know, we can't drag other people with us to heaven, but sometimes we might want to. And what can we do about this situation with more and more nuns springing up in our culture? I also want to talk a little bit towards the end, just about, I always like to get above it all. I want to talk about being human. I know that's something the church teaches very fundamentally about what it means to be human, but it's tied into this idea of nuns and this idea of Christianity and Catholicism, the best kind of Christianity, being the fullness of the truth. And it really does, I was talking about yesterday, we have to take theology and apply it to our actual lives. And so when you think about being human, the church has the best answer on what it means to be human. So I want to talk about that as we get ready to head into Christmas. Stop and think about, you know, what are we doing here anyway? There's an article in Christianity Today, yesterday, that talked about Christmas in Iraq. It says 17 years since the fall of Saddam Hussein, and I remember that. The Iraqi nation that's been divided between Sunni, Shiite, and Kurdish Muslims remains unable to agree on a national day. But they can agree on Christmas. Isn't that lovely? They can agree on Christmas. The parliament unanimously passed a law to make Christmas a national holiday every year. This was promoted by their bishops, their cardinals and bishops. Cardinal Louis Raphael Sacco was the patriarch of the Chaldean Catholic Church, and he presented to the president in Iraq that this law, this proposed law, to make Christmas a permanent public holiday. And so it's really cool that although they can't agree yet on a national holiday, they do agree on celebrating Christmas. We see that here, too. We see that in our own country. You know, I tell my kids sometimes that, you know, they're wondering, you know, how come everybody doesn't know about Jesus? How come everybody doesn't believe the way we do? And I have to tell them, you know, people are raised differently. And there's a whole lot of variation out there. You know, the world, I have taught my kids the world does go on beyond the borders of Texas. But to tell them that it's just, we take it for granted. We count our days by the life of Christ. The whole world counts the days. I know there was some changing about AD and BC, and they changed what that means. But look, we still count our days by the birth of Christ. We still count our days by Christ's life. We still, the whole country, even if some people don't take the weekend off, we still acknowledge a weekend. We all kind of feel like we should be having the weekend off if we don't get it off, or we shouldn't be working on Sunday, even if we are. There's just this acceptance. You know, kids go to school Monday through Friday. The work week is Monday through Friday, and we take the weekends off. We celebrate Christmas as well. Even people who are not religious celebrate Christmas. Count our days by the life of Christ. Celebrate Christmas because of the birth of Christ. And even have the routine that more or less fits with the church. And there's so much more in the liturgical calendar we could tell people about. And I think that's a great way to get into a conversation with someone who isn't Catholic or isn't Christian and start to introduce them to, you know, there's a place where all this comes from. We don't just like, people didn't just meet and say, hey, let's agree on counting the days this way or agree. You know, it actually came from somewhere. Just like in Iraq, this idea of Christmas being celebrated every year, it was a law that they voted, that they passed, and people are going to accept it. But the idea to do that in the first place came from somewhere. So never be afraid. I think that's a good moral of the story here. Never be afraid to push the logic all the way through. That's what we do as Christians. We pursue the truth. We seek the truth. And don't ever stop until you get down to that fundamental principle, that first thing that is underneath all of the reasoning process, because you will find it in the Catholic Church. You will be able to reason back through, just like in science, you can reason back down to observations. No matter what chemical equation or physics equation you have, you can break it back down to an observation we made in nature. With theology, you can follow the logic back down to a divine revelation, something that God revealed to us, and we reason forth from it. It is a thoroughly logical system. And no matter whether we're counting our days, deciding on when to celebrate holidays, which comes from Holy Day. We are thinking about how that all fits into Christianity. So a little more about this article. They said at the end of it, I thought it was really beautiful, the priest, there's a priest there who said Christians who stayed in Iraq, because obviously the population decreased over time, who stayed in Iraq celebrate a Christmas filled with challenges, as do we all, but not quite the same challenges that they have there. A Christmas filled with challenges, but also with joy, as the angels told the shepherd. So it was the same way when Christ was born. They celebrated with joy, even though there were challenges. And we can celebrate the same way now, the same way, even though we have challenges of our own today, and as we celebrate Christmas this year. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that after the break. We're coming up on a break, and when we come back, we will talk a little more about what it means to be human and what it means to be a nun.
Hi, this is Father Rocky with another Advent Inspiration. Why do so many people go to Mass on Christmas? Because no one wants to miss the opportunity to share the good news that a Savior has been born for us to save us from our sins. It's really good news and gives everyone hope. Christmas is the only celebration of the year that has four different sets of prayers and readings for the four different Masses. Christmas Eve Vigil Mass in the early evening, Midnight Mass, or known as the Mass of the Angels, Mass at Dawn, or known as Mass of the Shepherds, and Mass during the day, which is the Mass of the King. Last Christmas, I celebrated Christmas Mass in the Cave of the Shepherds in Bethlehem on Christmas morning. We sang Joy to the World, and O Come All Ye Faithful, and the Glory from the Misa de Angelus. It was unforgettable.
To hear this or any of Father's Advent Inspirations, visit us on our mobile app or at relevantradio.com/advent.
So, what's trending? Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timory on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hello, and welcome back to Trending with Timory. I'm Stacy Trisankos, filling in while Timory snuggles with her new baby. In this next part of the show, I want to talk about nuns. I know there's some debate over whether we should even call people nuns, N-O-N-E. I feel like every time I say that word, I have to spell it because I don't want people to think I'm talking about religious nuns. I'm talking about this word that Bishop Barrand coined. I believe it was him who coined this word. Talking about nuns, people who don't identify with any religion at all. I get this. I think I was a nun before nuns were cool because I know what it's like to leave behind religion. I grew up Southern Baptist here in Texas, and it didn't answer my questions. You know, I was a young person. I loved science, and it became very clear to me at a very young age that science sure did have a lot of answers about how the world works, and my Baptist religion didn't have a lot of answers. Like, I didn't understand why we weren't supposed to drink beer when, don't tell anybody, everybody did at parties anyway. You know, I saw adults drinking around me all the time, but they would teach us on Sunday, don't drink. And I'm like, well, they have wine in the Bible. And it just didn't make sense. And there wasn't a good answer for it. And there wasn't a good answer for a lot of other moral things that the church told us to do. And I started to think at some point it was maybe just the adults getting together and saying this is what we expect of kids. At some point, I just got tired of worrying about it and said, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And just like that song, Losing My Religion by REM, I decided that that was a pretty good thing to do. I mean, why do I have, that was growing up for me. Why do I have to do these things? What's going to happen? I didn't go to church. The world didn't end. Nothing bad happened. The sun came up the next day. Everything seemed fine. It took me over a decade to realize the intellectual part of being a nun leads you down a dead end. It leads you, you know, to the bottom, and you can either scratch and try to keep digging, or you can look up and say, hey, maybe I don't want to be down in this hole. But this, there's an article in the Christian Post a couple of days ago. It says the most common religious identity among young adults is none. Belief in God, these people say, is not necessary for morality. What does that mean? Well, it's a religious identity that you're a nun. It's, that is to say, you have no religious identity. And these people don't identify as atheists, okay? So they're not saying I'm an atheist. I think probably the number of people who call themselves atheists is also dwindling, because when you think about it, that's just as much putting a label on yourself that binds you to certain beliefs if you call yourself an atheist. So I think it's not even cool to call yourself an atheist anymore. They're just nuns. And I doubt these people even call themselves nuns unless somebody's asking them to fill out a questionnaire and they say, what religion do you have? None. The majority of Americans don't believe it's necessary then for a person to believe in God, to be moral, and have good values. This was another question on the survey at the Survey Center on American Life. They were investigating contemporary religion in the U.S., so this is just the U.S., among young adults 18 to 29. More than one in three adults are religiously unaffiliated. They're nuns, 34%. Nearly 9 in 10, so 87%, almost 90%, of Americans report they believe in God, but just over half, 53%, report they believe in God without any doubts at all. Of these, more than 8 in 10 of that 53% are white evangelical Protestants and black Protestants, and they are absolutely certain that God exists. Overall, let's keep on with the statistics and we'll talk about them, but let's get them out there first. Overall, 42% of Americans have a close social connection with someone who is religiously unaffiliated, up 18%, up from 18% in 2004. But here's the most interesting. Most Americans say it's not necessary for a person to believe in God, to be moral, and have good values. Close to 6 in 10, 59%, say a belief in God is not a precondition to being moral and having good values. So let's examine that. I mean, even if you're a person, the other 41% say that you do need to believe in God to have morals. What does that even mean? What does it mean if you, and I know we, as Catholics, we talk about this a lot, and it's sort of part of every discussion we have on the moral teachings of the Catholic Church about things like contraception and marriage and chastity. But why do you have to believe in God? It is, the way I like to say it, it is about being logical. I mean, I became Catholic because I love logic. And even when I wasn't religious, even when I was a nun, I guess you would say, I was still a logical person, and it does take some guts to be so logical and to honor the logical process so much that you are willing to follow it to its final conclusion, because a lot of people don't do that. A lot of people don't think critically or thoroughly. I'm not saying I'm some brilliant person, but I do remember having this thought when I didn't believe in God. I was not afraid to see where that logical path would take me. And I think a lot of people see, maybe, if they're not religious, they see where the logical path is going to take them, and they just turn around and don't face it. Kind of like Texans who don't go beyond the border. They just turn around and don't face it. They see where it's going, they don't want to deal with it. And hey, if you don't think you have to have any moral code, you don't have to believe in God, you don't have any objective moral code, then there's nothing to say you can't just turn around and ignore that. So people ask me a lot because of my own conversion from chemistry to Catholicism, you know, what was it that just made you get down on your knees and have a change of heart? Well, it wasn't logic in the end. It was love. It was my heart. It was my yes to God, my granting intellectual assent to the truths of faith and being willing to test them out in the lab of my life. So it wasn't logic that got me there, but it was obvious to me long before I ever converted that one logical path goes to nothingness and the other logical path goes somewhere else. And I wasn't sure where else it would go, and I was kind of afraid of where else it might go. But I do remember just saying, yeah, whatever, I don't care. Because in the moment of the day, you can often, and I think we do this as Catholics, I do it as a mother all the time, we don't have to think things through. You don't have to always be fully logical. Sometimes you just want to know what kind of cereal you're going to buy at Walmart so you don't go hungry for breakfast that week. Sometimes you just are worried about how much money you have in the bank or when you have to go to work the next day or what you're going to major in college or whether you're failing or passing a class. And you don't have to think things through because there's so much in our daily life that you can deal with. And so I think we've all had this feel. I mean, maybe you have. I'm sure that most of us have. You're laying in bed at night and you start to put away the things of the day and you start to look beyond the mundane details of daily life and you start to have these scary thoughts like looking at stars. I wonder how long it takes to get to that star. I wonder what's beyond those stars. I wonder how those stars got there. I wonder, you know, why are we here? Why? I know it sounds goofy, but come on, you probably had the same thoughts. Why do we even build houses? Why do we have communities? Who said we have to have roads? Who said we had to build cars? And let me tell you something, smartphones. Like, did you ever think about what has to go into making a smartphone? 76 of the 92 naturally occurring elements go into making a smartphone, and they are feats of human innovation for sure. But you can go beyond all of that stuff and start asking questions about why we're doing what we're doing. What's the point of all of this? You know, who says we have to have a city? Who says I have to live on the grid? I did try to live off the grid for a while and came back on in about 5 years. But don't be afraid to blow up everything you thought and ask questions. But the thing is, if you do that, and if the nuns would do that, you do arrive at God. And you don't just arrive at God. If you keep following the logic, you arrive at Jesus Christ. Because there is a fully logical structure there. You know, we can look at nature and know that God exists. St. Thomas Aquinas says so in the beginning of the Summa. You can look at nature and say, there's some superhuman intellect doing all of this stuff. You know, ask a chemist or a physicist sometime if he thinks that a human created all of this on earth. No. Our ignorance is much, much greater than our knowledge in any of those fields, biology included. But if you think beyond the things we know, it gets you to God. But if you start asking, okay, humanity, what have we learned about God? You can start to reason, and if you read the documents in the Catholic Church, and I love St. Thomas Aquinas, I think he's great for answering questions like this, you get back to it. It had to be Christ. It had to be an incarnational and Trinitarian God. And there's no other God that would make sense. Even some of the things I talk about, science was born of Christianity. It's a whole thesis I've learned about from Father Stanley Yawkey, and I can defend that statement as long as you're willing to sit and listen to me. But modern science came about because of belief in God, not just any God, but a one God that is incarnational and triune. That's how come early the Christians in the Middle Ages, in the early church too, but in the Middle Ages when the universities formed and then modern science started to rise, that's how come people looked at the world and assumed it was ordered because of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that the world is created in love. The world is created with order, rationality, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And they said, I bet we could put mathematical equations to what we observe in nature, and they could. And that, usually the history of science starts in the 1600s or 1700s, but there was a whole lot in the Catholic Church going on before that, and it was the Christian worldview that led science. So my point is, as Catholics, we have the full truth, the fullness of the truth, and we go beyond even the mundane details of life, and we ask questions. And so what does that all mean if you're talking about a nun? If you know a nun, you know, one of the things in this report said that a lot of those nuns said they had never been invited to church. They hadn't had anyone strike up a religious conversation with them, a conversation about God. And a lot of people now, even Christians, don't think that it's okay or necessary to strike up conversations with someone who isn't religious. So I want to, I fall into that sometimes too. I know sometimes, you know, I was at the hairdresser today and I'm like, do I talk to him about God or not? And I'm like, you know what? I'm just tired. I'm just going to sit here. And I didn't even say anything. And I missed an opportunity. I do that all the time. Sometimes I just need to zone out. But don't be afraid. Challenge yourselves over the holidays to strike up a conversation with someone. And even better, invite someone to come to church with you. Because those people that are nuns, they've probably, like any of us, because God loves us all and made us all with intellect and free will to think beyond our toes. God gave us the ability to ask these questions, and you know they ask these questions. So if you know someone who says, I'm a nun, or I'm an atheist, or I don't believe in God, or I don't have time for all of that, think of some questions. So this is where you have to get creative, okay? It wouldn't be right of me to tell you what to say, but think of some creative questions that you can ask people. I've asked atheists. Sometimes I say to atheists, because I've talked to a lot of atheists, in my work and just in my daily life, I have a lot of friends who are not Christian. I'm comfortable. I'm confident in my faith. I'm comfortable talking to people who don't believe the way I do. But I'm also, everybody, they all know I'm Catholic. And I'm comfortable saying to them sometimes, you know, I love science as much as anybody. I probably love science the most of anybody in the whole world. I'm good with science. I can talk about science all day long. I can tell you things about the atom that might bore you, but they make me get down on my knees and weep for joy. How come do you think there is science? How come to the nun? How come we even wanted to study the world? How come we care about what job we get? How come we want a good life? How come we are going to college so we can learn more about, you know, what's the point of learning? Why do we even want to know things? Challenge them on it, but don't challenge them in a way where you're going to go get the volumes of the Summa Theologia and knock them over the head and show them how much you know. I mean, be ready for that if they ask, but accompany the nun or the atheist. Walk with them. I remember a point when I was in my chemistry lab and I was looking out at trees thinking about photosynthesis, and it was abundantly obvious to me God must exist because he made those trees, and I can't do a fraction of that in the chemistry lab. And I remember just turning away from it. I thought, well, yeah, that's true. Might be true, but I got more pressing questions to deal with right now. But it felt like I was standing on a cliff. It felt like I was looking out over this vast chasm of truth that I was unwilling to leap into, that leap of faith. I was unwilling to go there. I didn't know what the truth was going to demand of me. Therefore, I didn't want to jump out into that chasm. And that's very much what it felt like. I just turned around and said, whatever, I don't care. And I didn't go there, but I never forgot that moment. And I was well aware that I had turned away from a logical path. But whenever I was ready to do that, it was the Catholics in my life, especially my husband. I grabbed him by the collar one day and said, I need to know the truth. I realized that chemistry isn't going to answer my most pressing questions. And he said, well, I know a place where you can find the truth. And he took me to the Catholic Church. So he was willing to have that conversation with me. And I went to the Catholic Church, and he came with me every day to every time for our CIA classes. And I ended up enrolling in a theology program because I wanted to know more about this wonderful faith. And I'm here to tell you, like a lot of people have, and you probably know this to be true because you've done it yourself, any question you can ask about Catholicism, there's an answer. And what we're seeing right now with the COVID-19 vaccines, which I've been talking a lot about that lately, we're seeing a moment in the church where there are answers for these questions, but us people living it right now, because we're so panicked and stressed out from this pandemic and the virus and the cures and what we're going to do, we're trying to figure out, you know, the truth doesn't change, but we're trying to figure out how to apply it in our current situation. And so if you hear Catholics arguing about things like you might hear right now with all the stuff about the coronavirus, or any other time, Catholics, it's healthy that we argue about stuff because we are not nuns, because we ask questions, we pursue the truth, and sometimes controversy is the process by which things change. And so we have to talk things out, and it gets frustrating, and we might get angry, but it's really a healthy thing that we do that. So keep all of that in mind. I hope that helps you if you know some nuns, and you can talk to them and have a conversation, ask them some questions. Don't be afraid for them to ask you questions. Don't be afraid to give your personal testimony and tell them what it's been like for you. And don't be afraid if they ask you a question to say, I don't know, but I'm going to go find the answer. So all of that stuff. That is my little tutorial on how to evangelize nuns. Be their friend, get to their center, look out at the world through your friend's eyes, and show them some supernatural empathy, and try to understand where they are and walk with them. See, it's simple. We'll be back after the break. I'm Stacy Trusenko, filling in for Timmery.
Bridging your Catholic faith with your everyday life. You're listening to Trending with Timmery on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Stacy Trusenko, filling in for Timmery while she is at home with her baby. I'll be here today, and I'll be back again in, I'll be back next year. How's that? I'll be back in 2021. For a handful of times to fill in for Timmery as she's home with her baby. Mommy and baby are doing just fine, and they appreciate your prayers. We were talking about before the break about nuns, N-O-N-E-S, and how there are more than ever, more nuns than ever. They don't get asked to church or invited into religious conversations very often. And I want to, you know, that's a trending topic, because anytime these reports come out, Catholics and Christians make a big deal about them, and it always challenges us to think harder about what it is we're doing. I want to build on that. Something that I found life-changing as I became Catholic after, you know, my love of chemistry. One of the things that struck me so much was this idea of being human. And see, again, like I was saying, it's such a fundamental idea to be human. We just kind of take it for granted. It's like breathing air, which is not a simple event. I mean, breathing and our heart beating, all that, it's like more chemical equations than people can even write down. We just take it for granted our heart's going to keep beating. But it does. But being human is something really profound. And talking about following the logic to its fullness before, that really comes in when you start thinking about who am I and why am I here? Because chemistry can't answer that. Chemistry, honestly, in physics and biology. I talk about chemistry. I started studying biology. You have to know this. I started studying biology. I switched to chemistry for my PhD because it became abundantly clear to me that if I really wanted to understand biology and not just drawing big globs of things and calling them names and memorizing stuff, I needed to understand chemistry. Because those big blobs of things you draw in biology books have atoms and molecules and electrons in the atoms underneath them. So I wanted to understand all of those things. And that's why I love chemistry, because it's fundamental to everything we know in science. And if you think about being human and you think science has all the answers to life, like a lot of people do these days, and you don't even think there's anything spiritual, everything is just physical, then you yourself are nothing more than a collection of atoms and molecules, right? And like I was saying before, I'm a very logical person, and I was pretty comfortable following my logic to the end. So much so that when I had children, when I had my first two children, I remember being conflicted because they were pretty awesome collections of atoms and molecules, a highly complex orchestrated system of a whole lot of chemical reactions going on and causing growth. And it was more than that, though. It was more. And so I knew there was something more to being human than just what was laying there in front of me. And it led me to follow and find out eventually what the church says. The church says that we're created in the image and likeness of God, that we have these Trinitarian spiritual powers of intellect and will, that God the Father, through an act of divine intellect, somewhat like a word is conceived in the mind, generated God the Son. Generates eternally, God the Son. There's no beginning. It's an eternal generation. And God the Father and God the Son together as one substance spirate forth as an act of love, the Holy Spirit. And so that's where intellect and will, loving, come from. We're made in the image and likeness of God, and we have these spiritual powers. And I remember I'm like, get out of town. We have intellect and will. No wonder I wanted to think and find out about chemistry. No wonder I think it's really cool that my baby is a collection of atoms and molecules, but no wonder I also love this child in ways I can't even describe. I love this child so much that I would give all of myself to this child except to be this child. And I realize that's the language of the Holy Trinity. And so we yearn to love and be loved, to know and be known, just like in the Holy Trinity. And we always feel acutely, we feel how imperfectly we do that. And so that was amazing to me. And I was thinking about it the other day. My children, I have four teenage daughters, and I have two grown kids, a daughter and a son, 31 and 25. And then I also have a son that's 10. But I have these four teenage daughters, and they're always introducing me to new music because they log into my Amazon Music account and they make playlists. And so I was in the car the other day, and this song by Muse came on. And I was feeling pretty bad. I was feeling really down because it seems like with all this coronavirus stuff, there's so much going on that is just dehumanizing. Even I was critical of the moral calculus in the church and what we're supposed to do about vaccines. I'm just tired of hearing all of these instructions and moral guidance, and plus all of the social distancing and the mask wearing. And it's almost like we're forgetting what it is to be human. It's breaking something in us. And this song came on that my kids had been listening to, and I want you to listen to a little bit of it, just the lyrics in the very beginning. It's by Muse, M-U-S-E. It's a song called Human.
My circuits are blown. I know it's self-imposed. And all I have shared
isn't that so beautiful? I mean, I could just listen to this whole song, and I was in my car driving to work, really stressed out about all. I mean, I hadn't even thought about Christmas much because I've been so, just so trying to check the boxes and get things done. And I heard those words that my sweet girls, I have some awesome teenagers, that my daughters were listening to. They're very edgy, but they're very smart, and they're not afraid of the truth. And I heard those words, my circuits have blown, I know it's self-imposed, and all I have shared and all I have loved is all I'll ever own. And I'm driving around the loop in Tyler, Texas, heading to work with Bishop Strickland, and I've just got tears streaming down my face because I thought, yeah, you know, our circuits are blown, our minds are just tired, and our circuits are blowing, but we're not just these atoms and molecules. Our brains are not just our neurological pathways. We are all we've ever loved and all we've ever shared. See, that's so Trinitarian. It's so theologically correct. And I think getting back to the nuns, you know, those next words, but something has changed. I feel so alive. My life just blew up. I'd give it all up. I'd depressurize. It is kind of cathartic when you realize your yes to God, that you grant intellectual assent to the truths of faith, because suddenly your life just makes sense. And that's how I felt when I learned about that. I took a course called The One and Triune God at Holy Apostles College and Seminary to learn about being human. That's where I learned about it, studying God. And I remember it was just like clicking. It was like suddenly all of the chains on my intellect and my will were just stripped off when I realized that God made me in his image and likeness. And the reason I want to know people and I want people to know me, the reason I want to have friends, the reason I want to be in love with my husband, the reason I want to be loved and loved, the reason I want to belong in my family, the reason it hurts so much when there's discord with the people I love, and there always will be, because that's part of being human too. We're not God. We're never going to do it perfectly, even as we yearn for that perfect relationship with each other and with God. And so I think one main thing we can do this Christmas is get back to remembering what it means to be human, made in the image and likeness of God, more than atoms and molecules. We desire to belong to our families and communities. And yeah, maybe we have to social distance for a while so that we can keep each other safe. But that doesn't mean we can't long for that connection. It doesn't mean that, I mean, it's very right to miss it, to feel like something's broken when we don't have it, and to yearn for it. So even if we don't have it, it's wonderful to want it. And I love that even in a song like that, people get it. You don't have to be in a graduate theology course on the one and triune God talking about this eternal circumcision of life and love in the Holy Trinity and the processions and the relations. You don't have to do all of that to get it, to get that we're more than that. And I think we just forget that sometimes. You know, we stop realizing that that's how we're made, that we're journeying to heaven, and that sometimes the most profound thing we can do is just be with somebody else. That's part of being human too, being in this relationship. And that song, I'm sitting in my office down the hall from Bishop Strickland, and I'm listening to Muse on my computer because I want to listen to the rest of that song and I want to know what it's saying. And it's my interpretation. I could be wrong, but I mean, you know how music videos, sometimes you're not really sure what the point is. There's a lot left to artistic interpretation. But my interpretation of that video is that there's the artist who's singing and he yearns so much for flesh and blood connection with other humans. It's such a technological world that we find. COVID-19 aside, it's already such a technological world that we live in where sometimes our friends are really just profile pictures and comments in boxes. And we start to not really see people as flesh and blood, but more abstractly as how this person's going to respond to my comment on Facebook or Instagram. And something's broken there. And so the guy in this video was yearning for flesh and blood, human, and he needed something human. And he was envisioning, even to the point of violence, I could be wrong, but there were some guns. I don't know. I think it means violence when there's guns, but there was like some guns, like in the sci-fi movie, but it's like he was saying, even if it means that, I just want real humanity. I want it, the suffering, the joy, all of that. And of course, at the end, he's just standing in front of a VHS video rental place. I'm not sure what that's all about, but it's a beautiful song. And I recommend that you check out Muse. My daughters have gotten me to really be fond of some of the things that they have. And I also want you to maybe, you know, I'm real big on relationship now because of my experience, chemistry, coming into the church and really realizing all this about human. I want you to think about your relationships over the holidays. It is one of the most painful things in the world. I fully believe this, when our relationships are broken. I think that is the source. I think it's underneath addictions, suicide, the desperate things people do. I think we're all just kind of running through life with our arms stretched out saying, somebody love me. And it absolutely breaks my heart when I think about abortion and the children who were unloved and unwanted, or when I think about born children who may grow up in homes where they're not very loved, or broken homes, or even critical homes, or any kind of situation where these children are not being loved because they don't understand all of that stuff. They just know they want to be loved and they want somebody to know them. So I encourage you over the break, you know, make some time to do something simple. My husband and I say the secret to our marriage, and we've had our problems. We've definitely had our problems because it wouldn't be marriage otherwise. Forging a relationship with each other, being most vulnerable, more vulnerable than anything else has ever made me in my life. But we say the secret to our marriage is just showing up for coffee every morning. And a very wise person once told me that, and I never forgot it. And so we put aside all the problems every day, and we have coffee. He always makes it and fixes it for me. My cream and sugar is always in my cup. And we just talk about our day, and that's really our secret, no matter what's going on. So with you in your life, think of some relationship that may not be great. And don't go out and try all these heroic efforts to try to make it better. Do something simple. If it's your child, just ask a question about something the child's interested in. Maybe ask them about a drawing or a book or a show they're watching or a game. Or if it's a husband, ask him about himself. Or if it's your wife, ask her about something she's interested in. Just do something to connect and ask. Try to see the world through that other person's eyes, because God made us to do that. And you will be touching their soul in a very deep way simply by telling them, you matter and I care to know something more about you. You would be surprised at the problems in this world that would be solved if people could just have coffee together in the morning, or sit on a swing on the porch and just talk, or just be with each other. Just give each other the gift of time. I know it kind of sounds like a Hallmark card, but I'm dead serious. I really think, you know, if that's the most important thing in life, is forming our relationships and leading ourselves and each other to heaven, then you can't really make any better decision than just to spend time with someone you love. As cliche as that might sound, that is exactly what it means to be human. I'm Stacy Trisankos. I will see you back in January a handful of times while Timmery is out on maternity leave. And I wish you a very, very, very Merry Christmas. God love all of you. Thank you for being here.